Well,
Rue, this is exciting. This is like a rock star touring. Gary Jubelin, arguably the most famous detective, homicide detective in Australia. He's a best-selling author. He's appearing at the Entertainment Centre, and he's going to... You and I went and saw Michael Franzese in Melbourne, and this will be similar, talking about murders and crime.
He was head of one of the mafia families in America.
Yeah, so this is the other side
of the law.
Gary Jubelin, welcome to Triple M.
Welcome, guys.
Gary, we spoke about Michael Franzese there, one of the heads of the crime families. Who is the hardest, toughest crook you've ever run into?
There's some that I've run into that I haven't put away, but I've just we've crossed paths. One of the crooks that I went after for a long time was it was featured on the Underbelly TV show, and that was the murder of Terry Falconer, who was abducted and dismembered. It was a horrendous crime. But there was a crew that I was going after there that were some pretty good crooks, and it took 10 years for us to solve that crime. And
wow.
They were pretty scary.
You know, Gary, when you do actually finally track someone like that down and they face charges, when you're sitting with them in that interview room, we've all seen with TV shows now, cop shows, that you know, there's footage of these things. Are those interviews really, really eerie, or is it very cool and calm in there?
No, it's pretty intense, the interview room. And it was one of my favourite places. I'd call it my happy place in the interview room,
because
it was usually the culmination of a lot of work, and you're sitting down matching wits with the person you've been after for a long time. And Some of the more evil type people that I've sat opposite in a interview room, and you spend it might be 4 or 5 hours where you're talking to this person, you're face to face, and you walk out of that interview room feeling a little bit dirty and a little bit drained.
Yeah.
You feel like you've had to step into that evil world, because I found I had a lot of success in the interview room without judging people. So let them talk. Let them talk about this horrific murder that they've done without even showing on your face that you're disgusted. And when you get out, you just feel that little bit dirty.
Yeah. And what about a similar question, I think, but if we see on the TV news, you know, some footage of a criminal who's handcuffed and he's in the car and you're driving him away and you're sitting in the back seat with these guys, I mean, and sometimes the journey might take half an hour. Do you actually talk? Like, is it... Did you see the footy on the weekend, or I don't know, what is there ever any chatter or not?
That's an interesting question. Yeah, sometimes you do. Yeah, like sometimes you're locking up people that, with a different set of circumstances, you might get on. If you met them at a bar and had a beer with them, you think, oh, it's a good bloke. So it just depends. And some of the crooks are really, some are angry. Some are, hardcore crooks, won't even talk to you or acknowledge your existence. Others will disarm you with how friendly they are.
Yeah.
So it's a battle of wits. It's sort of a mind game. And that's what I like, that the culmination of the investigation, when you are actually getting to sit or see your adversary face to face. It's good.
I presume you get all different sorts of crooks. You get your dumb crooks that just commit a crime without thinking about it, and then you've got your very smart ones. Is that right? Is there a real cross section?
Oh, most definitely. There's some people, and you're chasing someone, you're working an investigation. Sometimes I have an elaborate plan that I think is foolproof to bring this bad guy down. And then you implement the plan and it doesn't work. And sometimes it doesn't work because they're too stupid to realise how good your plan was. So some people get away with crimes because they are, in fact, stupid. But on the other hand, you get people that I begrudgingly give them respect. And I'm talking sort of organised crime figures and that, but and it's not condoning what they do, but they're professional in their trade. And I do give a little bit of begrudging respect to them, the way they go about their business.
How has the job affected you? I know it's a very, very broad question, but, you know, I presume it's changed your way of thinking, your way of life from the day you started as a very young police officer.
Yeah, most definitely. I'm a completely different person to the one that I was when I joined the police. And I think even if I got through to this stage of life, if I hadn't been in the police, I'd be a different person. I've found it challenging. It's taken a lot out of me, but in the same regards, it's given a lot back. yeah, I'm talking to you guys. I'm doing things I never dreamed I would be doing. And it's probably, you know, circumstances out of my control. I left the cops. But there's a darkness to it. And sometimes, you know, I'd go through my dark stages and I'd have to sort of step away and sort of recharge and recalibrate. But, you know, for all the bad that you see in the world, I haven't lost faith in humanity. I still see the brightness and the goodness in people. And I've drawn a lot of strength from the victims' families, the way that they've conducted themselves in the most horrific of circumstances, and the dignity that they carry themselves in, carrying on after their loved one's been murdered.
How frustrating has the William Tyrrell case been for you?
I won't say frustrating when I was working on it. I worked on it for 4 years. I took it over 5 months after the initial investigation. I had so much to do on it. The frustration didn't come into it. I was confident that, you know, I was doing everything that could be done. My frustration is the circumstances in which I was taken off the investigation. And I'd made a commitment to William's family, the biological family and the foster family, that I would do everything in my power. And the way that I was removed from the investigation, it makes me angry, but sort of smarter people than me have told me that, yeah, you've got to let that anger go. So I let that anger go, but the frustration's still there. And, when a child like William is abducted in circumstances like that, I think a police force should be judged on the results. We need answers. The family need answers. The community need answers. And I know people are working on it now. I hope they're working as hard as I worked when I was on the investigation. Let's hope we can get some answers for the families.
A local footy club that I know had an issue with some people hanging around at after dark at training, and I spoke to a police person in the place that I know, and they said to me, you'd be absolutely shocked about how many sex offenders there are out in the community. Can you give us any stats or anything to shed any light on what he or she might have been referring to?
I haven't got the stats, but I can talk from my own experience within the police and the, you know, I've locked up pedophiles and murdering pedophiles and that. And I think, and I don't want to raise disproportionate concern for this, because they're definitely the minority, but there are some proactive pedophiles that I've sat opposite in the interview rooms with that, they look for targets. They look for locations where kids are and that type of thing. And that's quite chilling. And the thing about pedophiles that I've found too is that their tools of their trade is to, you know, just blend into a community so people don't realise, and that's the type of thing that you've got to look out for. But yeah, you know, without causing undue concern, they are out there. But the ones that I came across, and I've sat opposite them in the interview room, and they disgust me that they are so proactive in the way that they seek out their victims.
Gary, it's fascinating stuff. Former homicide detective and best-selling author. He's the host of the top-rating podcast, I Catch Killers. It's now a tour. So Gary Jubelin is coming to Adelaide. Now it's Friday the 22nd of October at the Adelaide Entertainment Centre. You can go to Ticketek for your tickets. Gary, thanks so much for talking to us. And, mate, this is going to be, as I said, a very, very interesting and fascinating tour.
Cheers, guys.
Good on
you, Gary.
Gary Jubelin. It's called I Catch Killers, the live tour.